Welcome this morning, folks. Music from 28 Days Later. Yeah.
Oh, God, this was a frightening movie.
Frightening movie. Frightening movie. One of the greatest horror movies of all time. Good thing about 28 Weeks Later. 28 Weeks Later wasn't bad either. I like 28 Weeks Later. It had a little of that. 28 Weeks Later had a little bit of that Iraq war metaphor thing.
They tried to make the ghouls. The ghouls were the Iraqis, brother. I can relate to that. No question about it. And those ghouls were as unrelenting as the insurgents in Baghdad, General Galen Shaw. Why aren't there vocals?
Well, there should be. Can I sing?
Go ahead.
When the ghoul came and the thing ran at me. This one here is laughing.
Well, Margaret, it is kind of funny.
No, it is not funny. No, turn it off.
Margaret,
turn it off. God damn, when I say...
Margaret, please.
Margaret, please. Phil, you're coming off a little effete like some butler with a pole... You're like some butler with a pole or a pipe parked. You'll excuse my language.
Jesus H. Christ.
All right, what do you want to say?
What I want to say is this. There are lyrics to 28 Days Later in the improvisational sense. In the improvisational sense. Now, I know a lot of people that have been to our one-man show, the one that you did on the 5th. I do sing. I don't know if I'll even be at this one-man show, but I will tell you this much.
Mike! Wait a minute. Yes, you are going to be at this one-man show.
I don't think I've signed my contract yet.
Oh, okay, so go ahead.
Oh, what does that mean? Well, you'll sign. Don't worry. Is that what that means? Because my husband is a very hard-charging and a very bottom-line attorney. He's an entertainment attorney.
I know what he does, Margaret. What do you want to say about 28 Days Later?
What I want to say is this. The theme music to 28 Days Later lends itself to a very realistic reading of the music so that the lyrics can be sung by the person what sing.
You're confusing her, Phil.
Well, just let me do it.
All right, so this is Margaret's improvisational lyric to 28 Days Later.
Also, if he laughs, I'm not going to ask permission, Phil. I'll ask forgiveness when you walk over and you see what I've done to both bodies, but I will not...
All right, would you... No threats, okay?
She's threatening me, and if I laugh, that's involuntary.
Yeah, laughter's an involuntary reaction.
Is it involuntary? You know what else is involuntary? This fist, your face...
Hey! God, you just missed me!
Yeah, I missed you on purpose.
Sing your song, will you?
Your hands off of me.
Margaret, as long as you're going to try leaping this table, and I thought you were going to start wearing pants.
You know what, Phil? I dress like a lady. If I have to vault the table, and I put one leg up, and you're looking up the skirt, you know what? Have a care.
Yeah, that's about right. Probably have to wear sunglasses. Hey!
Kick your ass.
Well,
what are you maneuvering your chair around for, General?
Well, you said that you're... Never mind.
Oh, my God, he's trying to get a peek.
Look at Margaret. What are you inviting it? If you're coming in here wearing a dress, may I ask a question?
No. Oh, and yes, I'm wearing underwear.
Thank you.
How dare you ask something like that?
I didn't. You responded to a question that wasn't asked.
You were mentally, you were conveying... Fuck.
All right, here comes Margaret Gray now.
But hold up. Don't say that.
Phil, when you say, here comes Margaret Gray, right after you said, there's no underwear, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Boy, you're right. Thank you very much. Wow. I should really be careful with that kind of stuff, you know?
What a sarcastic ass and a half. You know that? Not an ass. There's another half of an ass.
Yeah, there's three cheeks.
Technically, yes, three cheeks. I know you're laughing, but that's... All right.
Put the lyric sheet down, Margaret. You're not...
Don't ever grab anything out of my hands.
Especially if it's your own penis.
Oh, I'll kill it.
Hey!
I'll kill him.
You done?
No, I'm not half done with that. Especially if it's your penis. So in other words, what you're saying...
You know what he's saying. The guy's trying to bait you. Let's do the song. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just roll the music. Margaret Gray with the improvisational lyrics to 28 Days Later.
May I have some water, please, and a small bit of tangerine juice strained?
Yes, ma'am.
Now listen to what you can do with a song. This is very dramatic. Oh, one day I was walking down. down the street, I saw a ghoul. Can we start all over? I've got the wrong key.
Jesus, Margaret, it sounds like you're straining.
It's the wrong key. Turn it down, for God. Yeah, it's the wrong key, Phil, so we have to start again, all right, bud?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
All right, one, two, and a one, two, three. A one, two, three, three, and two. Pardon me, I'll just clear my throat here. One day, oh, one day I was walking down the street. Bill Fleming, the man who repairs my car. Fuck.
Mark, are you doing fine?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing fine. All right, let's start again, and let's do it from the top. Bill Benning. Oh, it's only a recording. I was gonna.
You can't direct an orchestra that isn't there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think you see that, Miss Lennon.
Is that right? Was that why she said Bill Bennington? Could you please?
How do you know who Bill Bennington is? Maybe he's just someone that needs to go in and plunge the toilet because Bud just used it.
But more like you just used it on account of toilet paper.
Shut your hole. Now, what do you mean, on account of the toilet? Don't you wipe?
Yeah, but I don't use half a roll.
What are you... You don't even know what... You know what, Bud? You know what? It's now comical. I don't even really want to tear your... I don't want to tear your face off anymore. I laugh at you.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. One, two, one, two, three. Follow me, Bud, because I'm counting it down. A singer and a dancer. We need the rhythm. One, two, a one... Not yet.
Margaret, what is this? Some contest?
I'm counting it down.
I'm counting it... Don't bawl.
I'm very temperamental as an artist. And what are you looking at?
Margaret, I'm just looking at you. I just...
Just don't... And you?
I'm looking at you too, ma'am.
Don't stare at me like I'm a thing under glass. Excuse me. Water, please. Tangerine juice, not lemon juice.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Ah, sapphire.
That's got it. Ah. See how I flatted there?
Yes, that's very nice.
Very nice, Margaret.
It's not supposed to be nice. It's a flatting. It's a flatting. See, that's when the ghoul attacks. Well, never mind. You... Talking to you, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Here we go. One, two, one, two, three, four, five. Phil?
Margaret Gray singing 28 Days Later.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Sometimes you'll be walking down the street. I saw Frank Jones. He's the guy who helps me fix my car. As we came up on the corner of 3rd and Blown, Frank jumped me and on my arm he gnawed. It's the ghoul attack. It's the ghoul. Get back! The rage virus is all over your crotch. I'm sorry about that, but now it's going into your brain. And the ghoul is... You get the general idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill it, kill it, kill it. Now what's the problem?
No, I get the general idea, but that's not really improvising.
Oh, it's... Yes, it is.
Phil, that's improvising.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, I thought the improvising was more do-do-do-do-do, you know?
No, no, no. That's when we prep. When we improvise, we do the lyrics. Here, look at...
And you want to leave.
What is this garbage?
Turn that off, Bud. That's our pre-show role. Turn it off.
Yeah,
let's... Yeah. This isn't cool music.
Well, it could be.
One, two, one, two, three, and go. This, ladies and gentlemen, is my interpretation of what I would consider lyrics that are fit for the ghoul attack in 28 Days Later. It's the ghoul, it's the ghoul, it's the goo-goo-goo-ghoul. Ghoul, 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 ghoul. The ghoul is coming out of the store. It's heading for your kid. It'll snatch him up, take him home. Next thing the kid,
next thing's the kid what?
It was a reference to defecation.
Jesus, you're talking about ghoul defecation.
I don't even think they... I think the problem with these ghouls, they're constipated. That's why they're running around.
Ha, ha, ha.
No, I'm very serious, so... Turn it off. Turn that putrid swill off. Thank you.
All right, well, Margaret, I will look forward to that at the one-man show.
I'm not doing that. Oh, you must... You must have me mistaken for an asshole. I'm not doing 28 days. You must have me mistaken for a brainless idiot. I'm not doing 28 days later. No, 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 no.
You're not supposed to be doing an improvised.
Well, I'm not.
All right, fine. I thought that was the song.
No, I know the strong material for me. It's the one that I... One, two, three... It's, which one did I do?
You did Delta Dawn.
Yes, I love Delta Dawn. What's the thing?
Margaret, I think you've got to really practice. Your voice is very rough.
I know what I've got to do, General. Don't worry about it.
It is, and you need to warm up a lot more than you do.
I know. What are you guys, all of a sudden, singing coaches? I know what to do.
Yeah, I want to take another crack at him, Ms. Gray, because I think you flattered on a cup.
I'm not... Would you turn that off?
I bet you flattered on a cup.
And the ghoul. What about that? And the ghoul. Male call.
The feel ghoul?
Yes. You'll feel ghoul with a female ghoul. Fuck it. Never mind. You know what? I'm wasting so much of my energy and my time.
Margaret, you think you're all that in a bag of pork, and a bag of a pork breast, or a bag...
Are you saying pork rinds?
Yeah, you think you're all that in a bag of pork rinds, but you need to practice like it, and I think what you did right there is substandard.
How dare you?
Well, you know, I do.
Margaret, I mean, it could be better.
What could be better about it?
First of all, you're in the wrong key. That key is too high for you. You have to either try a lower key, or you're just going to have to dispense with that song, because I don't think it's working.
You don't... Well, thank you, Ed Sullivan. I'm so happy. What do you think? I'm one of the... You think I'm some a tap-dancing troupe from Eastern...
No, I don't.
Marty, wait here.
Thank you very much, bud. I've written it down here. The ghoul, the ghoul, the goo 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 ghoul.
Now, let me look at that. The ghoul, the ghoul. Hey.
You think I'm just someone that can be... thank you very much. We'll call your agent, one of those people.
Margaret, I'm saying I don't think I'm anybody other than who I am, which is a very flawed man, especially when it comes to talent, and I could very well be wrong, but I'm saying that the song comes in very, very slow. It comes in too high for you, but I didn't ask for that.
Yeah, just listen to how it's flatting.
I know about her flatting, okay?
You know about my what?
It's singing flatting. And you don't have to stick your chest out.
How dare you say that?
Well, that's what you did.
Yes, but no one saw it. We're on the radio.
No, we're on a smartphone.
We're on the smartphone, yes. And I think the ghoul. I think the ghoul attack. Stop there.
No, it's too jacked up. It's too jacked up. All right, there's Margaret Gray. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that. Well done. Well, you know.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, it's look. You've got some days to practice. I think you're going to be in tip-top shape by the time the show is up and running. Whether you want to do It's the Ghoul, It's the Ghoul, It's the Goo 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 Ghoul.
Oh, look at you trying to make fun of it.
Yeah, Phil, I mean...
I'm not making fun of anything. That's exactly what she said. All right, I got a group here called Elevite, The Call of the Mountains. This is one from the album Origins. We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com, and on TuneIn. And by the way... We have chosen the winner of our VIP package this morning, the VIP winner in Quest of 3133. In Quest of 3133, the winner! Be right back.
General Galen Shaw here for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Your move.
happened here at Jimren Chevrolet. Jimren Chevrolet is having a sale this week, and it's going to blow your socks clean off. Come on down and take a look at our brand-new Chevys for 2014. And we got a brand-new Chevys for 2013. That's right. Try to trick you up there. We do have some 2013s left. If you wouldn't mind buying them, we'll call them a 2014. No, they're not 2014s, but they're shiny and they're new. They've only got 500 miles on them. They might as well be 2014. Bill Grimman here, Fritman Chevrolet. All you do is take Highway 61. You get off at 61, get back on 61, and keep on going. Then get off again, then get back on. You can get off anywhere you want, but you got to get off twice. Go, uh-oh, this isn't the exit. Get back on, keep driving. And you'll come to Bergman. That's the name of the street. It was named after myself and my two twin brothers. I guess that would make us triplets. Bergman, and Bergman, Boulevard Avenue. You can call it anything you want. Get off on that and head north. Even though there is no real sign for the north, you'll have to have a compass. And then you get over to the Bergman Chevrolet. Get into one of our brand spanking new 2014s. Oh, no, excuse me, they're 2013s, but they, for all intents and purposes. Bergman Chevrolet. Get off at Bergman, and live a little at Bergman Chevrolet.
And what is the name of this group?
This is Elevite or something like that. This is called The Call of the Mountains. So why do I think these guys are European?
Well, because, first of all, there's a young lady, as you say in the rock and roll game, she's fronting the band.
I don't like that.
Look at Mark, you're going to have to get over everything that sounds like it's a sexual...
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen Phil just then. His head is tilted to the left, and he's looking at me like the RCA Victor dog with a sneer on his face that would repulse even the most forgiving woman. And he's going, yeah. That's what you look like, Phil. You were ugly, Phil. Very ugly.
That's me, especially this hour of the morning.
So that doesn't blow you away or put you off or make you feel inferior?
No, it does not. No. I revel in being ugly. I revel in my ugliness. I happen to be a guy with a bubbly personality. Oh, yeah.
I like this song. The mountains are calling me. I can hear the bird. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, somebody else has got dibs on this song, Margaret.
Listen to her. What happened to her? Listen to that screeching, caterwauling. Excuse me, dear, when you're done singing, your broom's over here.
God, what a petty person you are. Elevite from Origins. That's the Call of the Mountains. They're calling you. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, our podcast for today, Friday. Tomorrow, we will have a sixth podcast of the week for our BSPs only. So if you have a backstage pass, you can hear our Saturday-only show, and that will be tomorrow. We have, as I mentioned, drawn the winner of the VIP package for our sold-out show on the 30th, and that is Inquesta 3133. That's Inquesta's its username. Do we know whether this is that a female?
Yeah, I think it's a female.
No. It's a female.
No, I think it's a male.
Well, why don't we call it up? Or
Alex is doing that right now. I don't know if the individual's available. I don't even know if we're making contact with him. If we don't make contact with him, I suppose we can draw another name in our ping pong ball machine. But to that end, we do certainly appreciate everybody's participation in our contest for our VIP. And what are you doing, bud?
Just checking, make sure that the ping pong ball machine works. Because if we draw another one,
turn it off, man.
Turn the goddamn thing off. God damn it! Don't you know I was in the NOM?
What's that got to do with it?
I hear any loud noise.
You know something? I heard something about that kind of pissed me off.
What's that?
I saw some jackass thing on Facebook. Now look, I understand that there are men and women who've been in a theater of combat in a war. And I know that many of them suffer still from levels of trauma, post-traumatic stress syndrome having to do with a number of things. And some of it may be sound. But there was the very garish and, I'm sorry, it was a post on Facebook. It had a guy there, and he had a sign, combat veteran, please, your fireworks are loud, this and that, you know.
What was wrong with that?
There was something about it that struck me as phony, you know.
Why do you say phony, Phil? You're always looking for phonies. You don't believe in anything.
Yeah, but you spend more time
faking people out.
Yeah, I get it. I've spent a lot of time faking people out. One of the reasons why I've spent a lot of time faking people out is to draw out all the bullshit artists, okay? Now, there was something very obviously fake and phony baloney about this. It shows this guy, and he has this thing, and it says, I'm a combat, well, you know, something like, please, a combat veteran, loud noises upset me, all right? Now, maybe that's true, but all of a sudden, there's this dude on Facebook with that sign, and I think it was, it just struck me, knowing the nature of people on Facebook, it struck me more like a guy who wanted you to believe he was a combat veteran, and that he, you know, was in a theater of war.
So you're saying the man is putting all of this on for the sake of garnering people's respect?
Absolutely. I mean, I've dealt with my entire career, I've dealt with these wannabe veterans, guys that were never in the service, let alone in combat. And early on, they were Vietnam veterans, and there's the same phenomenon is happening now with Iraq-Afghanistan veterans. You're going to run into guys that claim to have had experience in Iraq or Afghanistan and have never had any said experience, okay?
Well, I mean, you're disrespecting the veterans.
I'm not disrespecting. I'm disrespecting guys that claim to be veterans and are not.
Well, you know, Phil, Mitchell, you mentioned Mitchell Page, the great Congressional Medal of Honor winner from World War II. He spent the remaining years of his life looking for these phony balonies, these, what do you call it, spring into summer.
You're talking about the summertime warrior.
Well, yeah, what do they call them?
I don't even know if that's the term, but I know what you mean. The wannabe guys that were never in the service.
That's right, and Mitchell Page went around looking for guys. Some of these guys have been dumbing up a Congressional Medal of Honor, wearing it around their necks, and walking around out there like going into a laundromat or a supermarket going, hey, how you doing? I'm a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Could I get some, you know, would you please assist me with my bags to the car?
Are you kidding?
I'm telling you the truth.
To a supermarket.
I don't know, but I'm just saying that's what these knuckleheads do.
You know what? I believe it. Can you imagine a guy going to the supermarket wearing his Congressional Medal of Honor medal around his neck saying, excuse me, can I get some help with the bags of the car? As you can see, I've won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Don't laugh. I'll bet you any. Look, I've talked to a few of these turkeys, and a lot of these monkeys, they go to the store, and the monkey will say, yes, I'm a Congressional Medal of Monkey. Not a monkey. I'm a Congressional Medal of Monkey winner.
Get a Congressional Medal of Monkey.
I mean a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Yes, and they're trying to impress people.
Yes, exactly. They try to impress people, and it pisses me off.
Well, I don't blame you that it pisses you off. I don't blame you at all. But the to more up to date concerning this war, and perhaps the Gulf War in 1990, and maybe even Vietnam, there are these guys that, and this guy looked like he was of the age where he'd be either a Gulf War veteran or Iraq-Afghanistan. And I just found it to be suspect. I had a feeling. I've been around I've just been around people enough, and it's been my business for 40 years to study people. That's really more than anything else what I do. And I look into their background, and I try to get a sense of who people are, you know. And when I saw this picture of this guy standing there wearing his little combat fatigue T-shirt, that little camo T-shirt that they have.
Yes, they've got the T-shirts and the jackets, but the camouflage.
Yeah, so it's green, and the green means jungle, and
we know, bud.
Yeah.
Well, Dickman, the green means the green's jungle, and the brown is desert.
Yeah, the brown's one of the desert.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, fine. So anyway, you have these guys. The guy's picture was there on Facebook, and there he had on his little, you know, some kind of service hat, and he had on his camo T-shirt, and he has this sign. He's got his sunglasses. Combat veteran, please watch your fireworks.
Well, Phil, it could be true. I understand all of your suspicions, but what makes you think it could not be true?
I'm not saying it could not be. The thing that makes me suspicious are a couple of things. First of all, this is the first I've heard of this ever. Now, I could be out of the loop in terms of this particular type of PTSD, if you will. But we've had a number of wars. We've had a number of generations of veterans returning home. And I've been involved throughout my broadcast career in one way or another with these veterans doing, you know, charitable events, fundraisers, outreach, all kinds of stuff. And I've talked to a lot of guys. I've never heard a guy say that the 4th of July is a big problem for him. It could be something that is very much a problem, but for a very minute number of people. That could be the case. But it's not so much an issue that it has become an issue that we know of. I don't think there's anybody out there that... I don't think there's anyone out there that could say, oh, yeah, this has been an ongoing thing for me, and I know there's a veteran that lives next door to me, and I don't... You know what I'm saying? And I've got... I'm around veterans where our radio studio is and where my home is very near the naval base here in Ventura. We got a ton of military people around here. And the 4th of July celebration that happens in this neighborhood is insane.
Oh, well, I've got... I wouldn't come down here for 4th of July.
Yeah, well, I don't live in it, but I hear you got a lot of the blue and green smoke nuts and all that stuff.
Yeah, the guy come in with those landing grenade smoke.
Well, there's all kinds of people here, and the 4th of July, like I say, is crazy. And now the cops had to come in and shut a few down. But the point being, a guy going on Facebook and saying, hey, I haven't seen a television public service announcement. I haven't heard a radio public service announcement. Nothing. In years and years and years and years and years of being around generations of veterans returning from wars. Vietnam, never heard it. Never, ever. Even during the welcome home celebrations we had in the 80s, never heard a guy say, boy, the 4th of July is really hard for me and those explosions, and I wish people would have more sensitivity. I never heard, especially during the 70s, when you would think there was this anti-government feeling in the country and anything that would mute a 4th of July celebration people would want. The Gulf War, never heard anything. Iraq, Afghanistan, never heard a damn thing until suddenly on Facebook it became this issue with this. And then there's a whole bunch of posts.
Well, now that's the thing that I notice. A lot of people will then say, oh, yes, you're right. Well, we don't do it. And they jump right on the bandwagon.
There's a lot of that on Facebook where people will just say automatically join in or repost or requote. Even though the quote isn't true, even though the person that said it never said it. Do you know how many things have been attributed to George Carlin and to Bill Cosby and to George Washington and to Thomas Jefferson and to God knows how many people, and they never said that?
Well, that was the whole beef you had with that numbskull Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, Mr. Henry called him out.
Yeah, I did call him out. I did call him out. Here's this dumbass that had been the governor of Minnesota and was running for president. He wrote down some quote that he claimed came from Thomas Jefferson, and I researched it and found that Thomas Jefferson never said that. So it proves one thing, that this guy, Jesse Ventura, who wants to be taken as some kind of a brainiac, he never even read Thomas Jefferson. I bet you he wouldn't recognize Thomas Jefferson if the guy walked down the street in a three-cornered hat, had the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in his hands, and was making love to a black woman.
Hey! Yeah!
Well, he might be too busy, doing other things, Phil, to notice that.
Well, it's not exactly an everyday occurrence, Margaret.
I know that. Well, no, but...
No, but what?
I think you're not giving the governor his fair due. And a man in a three-cornered hat making love to a black... What does that mean?
Thomas Jefferson had a black slave that he was sleeping with. Anyway...
But I'm sure she assented to that.
Oh, a slave? How does she say no to it?
Now, wait a minute, Henry. This is one of our founding fathers.
I know it's one of our founding fathers, but the fact is, how does a slave say no to a master when he says, I want to have sex with you? That doesn't happen.
Well, I'm sure Thomas Jefferson did not...
Yeah, you don't see Thomas Jefferson forced himself on a lady.
That's exactly what I'm saying. In any event, whether Thomas Jefferson did or not, Jackass there, the former governor of Minnesota, didn't know that this cat had not said the thing that he thought what he said, and, you know, like that. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at TuneIn, online at Listen Live, and online at your house. Congratulations, Equesta 3133, the winner of the VIP package to our one-man show July the 30th. Coming up on Saturday, our BSP-only show, BSP-only podcast, Saturday, tomorrow, on... on your thing, man. You know,
but it won't be on Listen Live.
No, it won't be on Listen Live. We'll just have it ready for download for you tomorrow. Girl, damn, you look
so. This is Kid Cudi, and I'm Bud Dickman on the Phil Henry Show. Girl
with a Kid Cudi.
Well, that's the guy's name, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a
1-2. That, well, that's not Cooties. Like,
no, it ain't Cooties. So many colors and sizes. Love them. I want them.
They need me. I'm rolling, coasting. I see pretty girls. This is Margaret Gray. Did you have my microphone up? This is Margaret Gray for the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm trying to get my air after singing the 28 Days Later thing, improving that. And if you are a young singer or a young mother with young girls or boys and you want them to have quality singing lessons, there can be no one better than Madame Totschke. Madame Totschke lives next door to me in Santa Monica. She is a long-standing vocal coach and singing coach in the Santa Monica area. She is originally from Russia, where she trained some of the great operatic singers of all time. She came to the United States right after the fall of the Tsar. Well, I guess that would make
her well over 100.
I don't know. That's when she said she came here. And the Price is Right, believe me, it's not free, and it's expensive, but for the level of training you get, Madame Totschke is the way to go. She's right next door to me in her own gated compound in Santa Monica. She arrived here from Russia. Well, she says after the Tsar fell, or after the Tsar was shot.
Maybe she shot the Tsar herself. What do you think of that?
I think, how dare you say... Do you know what that means to a woman like Madame Totschke?
No, I don't know what that means. Is she a commie?
Would she be living? God damn, you making me look like an ass.
Margaret, that whole pitch is bullshit.
All right, thank you very much.
That's Madame Totschke in Santa Monica. I'll deal with you later.
Madame Totschke in Santa Monica. She came over when the Tsar fell. You live like me,
you get used to fun. What if she is over 100?
If she came over when the Tsar... Well, maybe that's possible.
Thank you.
How old do you think she is?
I don't know, about 65. I
still she would have been born... She would have been almost my age. If
you and my... Was the Tsar... Well, no.
No, the Tsar wasn't around when I was a kid. Thank you very much, Kid Cudi. That's girls. Everywhere he sees them, girls. All right. Now, what are you talking about?
What am I talking... What, Phil, don't speak to me while you're belching. Don't go... What are you talking about? All I know is that Madame Totschke came over here...
No, came over when a Tsar fell. That's insanity.
Bud, you don't even know what a Tsar is.
Yeah, I do. I'm retired. I don't know what a Tsar is. I own one. My mom and dad, you drive one.
Are you...
Ow! Ow, 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 ow.
Asshole.
You're an asshole.
But are you kidding me? You think a Tsar is the thing you drive?
Well, I'm looking right here. Oh, CZ.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Thought you were mispronouncing it.
I know how to pronounce things. You're the guy that can't pronounce things, Bud. You're the one that turns a simple word like cat into Kai... What did you call it the other day? Kaya?
No, I said it was K.
It was K-K. Cat, Phil. You ready for that?
No. Somebody scribbled it. Couldn't read it.
I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what you guys are up to. I don't know what you guys are bitching and pissing and moaning about. All right, so thank you very, very much, Margaret, for that pitch from Madame Totschke's voice lessons.
Yeah, she came over when the Tsar fell.
And maybe she shot the Tsar was your comment, which I think is... I can only hope and pray she is not listening to the podcast. She's too... Well,
yeah, she's probably too dumb to know how to use it.
I didn't say dumb. I said stupid. Well...
Yeah, you said stupid.
That's right, Phil, I did, and maybe she is. She's a dear, sweet friend. She teaches... She helped me a lot.
Margaret?
She helped...
All right, she helped you.
She helped me a lot, Phil. I wouldn't be able to do that were it not for Madame Totschke. And when she came here from Russia, whether it's when the Tsar fell, or when Stalin fell, or when spring fell, or when night fall, or fell... do you like that?
No, I didn't.
Never mind. I've got to go, Bud, the bounty towels.
Yeah, they're in the kitchen.
Thank you.
Will you be back anytime soon?
I don't know, Phil. It depends. I had a lot to eat for breakfast.
Yeah, Madame Totschke. Don't miss Madame Totschke because she is all that and a bag of pork rinds too, man. And she will teach you how to sing it real good, I guess. All right, so there you have that. And as I said, tomorrow it is our BSP only show and our, yes, we've already had our fine winner, Enquesto 3133, the winner of the VIP package. What else we got? I think we got Bob Bakian waiting around someplace, so we're going to have Bob Bakian up there, and he is doing the traffic for us right now. Bob, tell us what it looks like out in the skies around our sunny world this morning.
Well, John Bradley, I got a freeway this morning, and the Good Friday chopper blade, they cut off the head of a truck, and there's a guy there getting too close to the airplane telephone, and the airplane telephone thing. I wrap that thing up, wrap it back, and don't wrap it. It's Bob Bakian, and this is Bob Bakian with the traffic.
And this is General Galen Shaw, and tell you what, for breakfast, there's no better than Suderman's Bacon. Suderman's Bacon, you just heard Bob Bakian mentioning that. It comes wrapped up, ready to go. It's made out of all of your favorite meats except for pig. The pig, he will not use. I've talked to Jim Suderman. I've been to the people at Suderman's Farm. I've had sit-down discussions. We've had negotiations. No way will they use pig. Pig is honored. In fact, they've got pet pigs. As a matter of fact, Jim doesn't go anywhere without his pet pig. Sorry, Mrs. Suderman, I'm only kidding. Ha, 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 I really mean the pig, the pig. So Suderman's Farm, it's up there near Fresno. I can't tell you where exactly because they haven't moved yet, but they will be taking it from where they are currently in Oildale. You know the Suderman Farm there in Oildale, don't you? It's right near those oil sumps. They'll take it over there to Suderman's Farm just outside of Bakersfield. The brand new farm there, and they make pork and, bacon. They make pork tasting bacon out of beef, out of turkey, out of chickens. By God, they'll use human flesh before they ever get near a pig and bother a pig with all that bullshit.
From the cradle to the grave, shoot a nigga from his ankle to a wave. You can tell that I'm
the hell is this? That's Suderman's Bacon.
There's 2 Chainz in Netflix, and thank you very much, General Galen Shaw. The news there on Suderman's Bacon. I don't eat swine, and I posted something very offensive. Well, probably not offensive, but I think most people agreed with me. I said that United States of Bacon is the worst abomination of a TV show I've ever seen.
Well, you did that on purpose because you don't like bacon. You wanted everyone to feel bad.
Yeah, I did. I did. I think a show celebrating bacon is all kinds of jackassery. Yeah, I know it tastes good. Yes, I know all about that. And I know that it's manly. I love how these guys, I eat bacon, that makes me a man. It means that you basically are a fat fuck, excuse my French, and that you are most likely going to die of some form of heart attack or thrombosis or stroke or what have you. But I maybe not. I'm sure there are guys that eat bacon that are perfectly healthy. But I also think that because the pig is our close personal friend...
Oh, come on, Phil. You don't really believe that.
I think pigs are friendly animals, yeah.
Maybe friendly. I mean, no pig ever come up to you and say hello to you. That'd be insane.
Don't talk about that, man. It's talking about friendly like a man's best friend, you know?
What? You talking about like a dog?
Pigs are as smart as dogs, maybe even smarter, yeah. And they are very friendly, yeah. And no, I don't want it's not going to play cards with me or anything. A pig is in my opinion, the pig is elevated now in my mind to being as intelligent as dogs or cats or dolphin. And we don't slaughter any of those for food, not in civilized countries, at least not in America. I know that they eat dog in some countries. I get that. But I'm talking about here in the U.S. of A. How many people eat dog here?
Well, Phil, you don't really know.
All right, I don't really know. But I can guarantee you this. If anybody got up in public and started publishing a dog recipe, man, people would be ready to kill. They'd be ready to kill. I could do that. What do you think would happen if I put up a recipe for dog?
You would lose followers. You would lose...
Exactly.
Man, that'd be a pretty good experiment.
It would be a good experiment.
Wait. What are you proposing to do?
I think it would be a very good experiment to put on on my Facebook post a recipe for dog and see how many people unfriend me.
What are you, trying to get people to unfriend you?
Unfriend me on my friends page, yeah. I could use about 1,000 less people. Because the friend page, to me, as I was telling you, are people that I would consider being friends with. And there's a lot of people on there. Man, I wouldn't walk across the street to say, oh, excuse me, but your car, it's being broken into.
I wouldn't either. I'd holler it across the street. Jesus.
Yeah, what are you going to do, Henry?
You know what I'm talking about. And you see them every now and again, you know, with their posts. So I would put a recipe for dog, and that would lose a good half. Then there would be people that think I'm kidding and think it's brilliant comedy, which it isn't.
Well, now that's very interesting that you say no, it wouldn't be. A lot of people would consider that a satire. So why are you saying that isn't satire?
It's not very good satire. It's not very good satire. It's shocking. It's revolting. But satire should make you laugh at some point. And anybody that would laugh at that, I don't want to know. Anyone that would laugh at that is abnormal. That it would be an abnormal thing to laugh at a dog recipe showing you how many pounds of dog to use, and no. So I think that the best thing to do is to simply state my love of pig and the fellow travelers of the pigs, the dogs, and the cats, and say that I am no longer eating swine. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, Dean Wheeler joining us here from the Northern California Holistic Center to talk a little bit about this. I know, Dean, for the longest time, you have not endorsed the eating of swine for health reasons.
Well, that is exactly right, Phil. The pig is a cloven-hoofed animal, and all of those animals, such as the goat, such as the pig, are very unsanitary. They lay around in their own filth. They slop in mud. They lay around and slop it up and lay in their filth.
You're talking about they're laying in their own excrement.
Yes, exactly, Margaret. And they're filthy, dirty animals. Now, what you're saying this morning, that you don't want to eat pigs because they're intelligent and because they're friendly, I've not heard that, but I certainly recognize. Well, I guess I have heard that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you haven't heard that pigs are intelligent and that they are as affectionate as dogs?
I haven't heard affectionate as dogs, but I would believe that. I would definitely believe that. But the most important reason not to eat a pig is because it's a filthy thing, and the same goes for goats. The same goes for goats. Now, I don't know how friendly goats are. The problem with a goat is that I would never have a goat as a pet, because the goat represents the satanic or the darker forces in the holistic religion that we celebrate here, and that my wife Emeralda has now, Phil, entered into the third ring of her high priestess status. So we're very proud of her.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're very, very proud of her. So she enters now elevation 2, third ring of the high priestess status, and Kong is pleased. By the way, can I ask you where Dr. Elcott is speaking next? Because I want to have a couple of chats with him. I've hooked up with him.
Now, I will tell you that Dr. Elcott, I think, is going to be here in California in August. He'll be speaking at the, this is called the Kong Academy.
Yeah, but it's spelled C-O-N-G.
They're talking about King Kong, sure.
No, it's not King Kong. I thought I explained this, Phil, to the staff there.
Yeah, bud, please don't laugh at what Dean is saying. This is very important. This is the really the discipline of Kong, which is a different religion from Elcott the Next Step.
Oh, it's completely different. Elcott the Next Step is I would call it almost a ufology religion.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And because of that, I think it lacks a legitimacy that the world of Kong, which is our Wiccan belief, has. And Emeralda could explain all of this much, much better. But I need to go to talk to Dr. Elcott because we're coming up on the summer solstice, we're coming up on the fall solstice in September, and we're heading toward a collision of these two religions. I don't want to say it could be ugly.
Well, what does that mean?
Are you talking about violence?
I am saying that we are heading for a high point of disunion. We are heading for a static level. Elcott the Next Step and the wonderful world of Kong, the two are not in transition.
You got to speak some English. What does that mean?
It means it could get violent, yes.
Oh, my God.
So where is this? Well, I don't understand. Are the two religions going to be celebrating?
We could very well find ourselves in the same space and time, yes, because we are going to be in Mill Valley, and we are going to be entering into, on the fall solstice, at the Mill Valley Sports, the Mill Valley Civic Center. And that's what we will be entering into, and that's when Emeralda will be rising to her third ring. And it should be a very festive day, but if the people from Elkhart the Next Step decide to hold theirs at the Holiday Inn, we're going to have a problem, and it could spill out into the parking lot.
All right, I don't know what any of this means. I'm sure that you can avoid this. I'm sure that in your conversations with Dr. Elkhart, you can avoid this. Are you going to be doing the talking?
No, it'll be Emeralda and Dr. Elkhart will be talking and will be charting what could be a course keeping the two sides apart. The wonderful world of Kong, you have to remember, Phil, is ancient. It's an ancient religion.
I've never heard of the wonderful world of Kong, and this is the religion that you and your wife practice.
Yeah, that's right, Phil, and because you've never heard of it, it does not mean it has not been around for a long time.
Listen, Dean, I understand what you're saying, and I think Phil is simply saying what a lot of people might, which is they've not heard of the wonderful world of Kong. It is Wiccan. It is a part of the Northern California Holistic Center. We did have Dean on to talk about the eating of pork. I did not know that the wonderful world of Kong allows it. So this prohibition is one that is practiced only by you.
Well, what the wonderful world of Kong doesn't allow is the eating of goat, because goat is the universal symbol of he who would destroy.
You're talking about Satan.
Okay, in my religion, in the wonderful world of Kong, we don't mention the unmentionable. Simply, he who would pervert. That's all we say.
So the word Satan or devil?
Again, in my religion, the wonderful world of Kong.
Yeah, I get it. You don't say Satan or devil.
I have to start again. In my religion, the wonderful world of Kong.
Well, we understand.
I have to start again. In my religion...
You know, every time I interrupt you, and the same thing with Elkhart, if he gets interrupted, he has to start again.
Yes, our religion sprung from the same wisdom font. Our religions both sprung from the same font, from the oracle, which was given to the world in the pre-dawn of the 19th century, using your times, using your calendar. It was in 1817 in Urbana, Illinois. The font, the oracle, gave us the originations, but we split apart and could never be rejoined, and let no man put us under.
All right, I don't understand any of that, but you guys can't be interrupted.
Okay, here we go again. In the early part of the 19th century...
Well, Dean, we are not trying to disrespect you. We're trying to get through this interview in as quick a time as we possibly can and learn as much as we can. So please forgive us if we interrupt you.
All right, I have to start again. In the early...
All right, I have to start again, and I'm hanging up on your dumbass. How about that?
Jesus, Phil.
Well, that pisses me off.
Yeah, but the guy's religion. Gotta respect a religion.
Phil, I was working it out with him.
No, you weren't. You were not working it out with him. You tried to work it out with him, and he said,
okay, I have to start again.
Have fun with your religion, Dean. You know, have fun with people interrupting you and you starting all over again. And then when you get together with Dr. Elkhart, I hope and pray that when your two religions meet on the fall solstice up there at the Mill Valley Civic Center and the Holiday Inn that's next door.
Well, why do you find that funny?
I just think for a couple of religions that are so spiritual, the Holiday Inn and the Mill Valley Civic Center sounds pretty funny.
No, they got seating.
Yeah, well, they have enough seating and they have catering.
Oh, well, isn't that great? They have enough seating and they have catering. And what if they cater in some pork sandwiches? What's going to happen?
Why are you so contrary this morning? I'm sure that All Hail Elkhart will provide for all.
Well, that's All Hail Elkhart. What about the Oracle or...
Not at the Foracle.
Yeah, I know. The font or the oracle of Urbana, Illinois. Is that going to provide?
Well, that's a very good question. You could get him back on the line if you want. I can't call him back.
No, you can't call him back because if he's going to want to go back again.
Let me just try.
There may be some workaround. If you hang up on him and then call him back, maybe he doesn't have to start again.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, Dean? Or, I mean, Mr. Wheeler? It's Bud Dickman. Yeah. Well, we didn't mean to do it. We want to find out about if the Oracle of the Urbana, Illinois? Okay. Yeah, he's on right now. Dean?
Yeah, it's Dean Wheeler.
I'm sorry, Dean. I had no idea that I was running afoul of your religion. I was trying to figure out how the... All right.
Hold on, Phil. I'm just running a little bit more hot water. I'm sitting in a bath right now. This is a renutritioning bath, so there are chemicals and minerals. It's not a bubble bath. I want everyone out there to know that I'm not sitting in a bubble bath whiling away the morning while the rest of the world is working very hard. My wife, Emeralda, of course, is at her job at the salon. But I am renutritioning today, and my wife, Emeralda, said it was, she understands that it's all right.
Now, you, for a living, how do you make your money?
How I make my money is through the sale of our books. It's also through our resort, our man camp. We have our Northern California Holistic Center adult resort. We have our spas, and of course we do have man camp, and through the sale of our publications. That's how I make my money. My wife, Emeralda, is employed at a hair salon in Concord, and she does most of the cleaning up. She sweeps it out.
Well, why is your wife sweeping out a hair salon and you have all of this money coming in?
You may not ask that question. You may not ask that question. That is beside the point. That's what I do. That's what she does.
Is she doing that because she wants to do it?
Again, Phil, I ask you not to ask that question.
Why can't we ask? Let me tell you something, Wheeler. I'm losing patience with you now. I'll come through the phone on you. And, friend, you would not have had a bad day until you have a bad day courtesy of General Galen Winston Shaw. I can assure you.
I'm simply saying, General, that I've had to funnel into that statement, which is you may not ask about my wife. She sweeps out a salon in Concord. Because at one time, I abused my wife. At one time, I was guilty of spousal abuse, violent spousal abuse, and I turned her out as a whore to help pay for my heroin addiction. Through my therapy, through finding the wonderful world of Kong, and through reinvigorating and renutritioning my skin, I recognized that I cannot be violent toward my wife anymore, but I do have to channel that aggression.
And so channeling that aggression means you forced her to work in a salon, sweeping it out.
Yes, that's the only way that it will be satisfying, both for myself and for the corpulence. Myself and that which surrounds myself, which is my flesh and blood body.
Ah, yes. Well...
Okay, you know, Phil, I'm trying to be as literate as I can, and you go with the, okay... I can tell when you're being sarcastic.
Well, you can tell when I'm being sarcastic. That's good, because what you're laying on me is some kind of a flim-flam, man. I don't buy it.
A flim-flam?
Yes, a flim-flam. Talking to me about how you used to beat your wife. I understand. Nobody lies about that. But now you're able to channel that aggression by forcing her to work in a salon and sweeping it out. And meanwhile, you're renutritioning your skin. We came on here to find out about the eating of pork. You guys eat pork in that religion, right?
Yes, we eat pork in that religion. You know, you're very aggressive when you ask questions.
Well, you know, welcome to the world. This is the world that I live in, Dean.
Well, you have my sympathies. I'm renutritioning my skin. I'm trying to get ready so that when Emeralda comes home, we can begin the process whereby she does move through ring number four.
Good. I hope she gets through ring number four and all the other rings. But you are telling me that you're forcing this woman to drive all the way to Concord, man, from where you guys live, to sweep out a salon.
It's either that or I beat the living hell out of her, okay?
Oh, my God.
That's right, Margaret, but Phil, you forced me into it. It's either that or I smack her around and throw her out a window here. And you know what? We're on the side of a cliff, that's right. We're in a house that's on stilts, that's right. And the last thing to feel the plummet all 500 feet were those squirrels that were living in that tree. Remember the squirrels that were driving me out of my mind? The squirrels that were, if you want to laugh, bud, driving me nuts?
Yeah.
Okay. I chopped down that tree. That's a 1,000-year-old old-growth oak tree. I chopped it down, and I could hear them screaming. I heard their screams. And it made me glad. Yes, that's right. It made me happy. When I heard the squirrels plummeting 500 feet to their death on the rocky bottom below, and I heard them going, no. That's what I heard, Phil. I heard that, and I was happy. And I heard them, and they're saying, and then that's what happened to the walnuts, the acorn, And that's the last I heard.
Well, you do that like you really enjoy dishing out that kind of suffering.
Oh, so I'm sadistic now. Here I am trying to save my sanity, and I'm sadistic.
I would think so. You chop down a tree, 500 years old, the squirrels fall 500 feet, you can hear them screaming, what happened to the acorns? The wife is working over there at a hair salon, she's sweeping it out, and what are you doing? You're re-nutritioning yourself. You're sitting in a bubble bath.
That's right, you're in a bubble bath. Read it and weep, Wheeler.
I am not in a bubble bath. I told you I wasn't in a bubble bath. Stop saying that!
Well, Dean, I think if the shoe fits...
If the shoe fit, Margaret, you'd be in a pair of greasy overalls repairing some other broad's jet ski, and your name would be Billy.
Yeah, you know, that guy, there isn't anything holistic about that jackball.
That guy, baby, flipped.
Flipped?
That guy sounds to me like he needs a soft room someplace. There's no question about that.
And the reference, by the way, Dean, if you're listening, the reference to Billy repairing the jet ski, I've heard a lot worse than that, okay? So don't worry about it.
What's he about referencing, Ms. Gray?
What?
What was he referencing?
He's trying to make me out to be some diesel dyke that's out there repairing jet skis for the big dyke contingent that they're expecting this summer with their speedboats, their jet skis, their shorts, and their footballs. Excuse me.
Margaret, there's nobody is dissing you.
I know that, but I'm sick and tired of that Wheeler. Wheeler's got to go. I really am. I'm beginning a campaign here for the latter part of this summer. Wheeler must go. Wheeler, just remember that Wheeler must go. Hey, Wheeler, bud.
Wheeler must go, yeah. Wheeler must go.
Yes, and I think that we all, Wheeler must go. Wheeler must go, yes. General?
Well, I don't know that that I want to be a part of that.
Margaret, look at Dean. We've all heard him lose his mind.
It's Wheeler must go or let no one come back alive.
Wait a minute.
No one come back alive. Wheeler must go. Yeah, Robert?
Wheeler must go. Wheeler must... Yeah, Wheeler... Get back. Wheeler must go.
All right, very good. Excuse me.
All right, well, I don't think Wheeler must go, but that's my opinion.
Wheeler must go.
I don't think Wheeler must go, but that's just my opinion. And I suppose that we will have to wait and see. We'll take a wait and see attitude, as they say. Wheeler must go. All right, sports fans, that there does it here for this version of the Phil Henry Show. Tomorrow it is our Saturday show. It is our BSP only Saturday show. Congratulations to the very fine friends there. Our BSPs and Inquesta 3133. Inquesta 3133 will be meeting us out there as our VIP on the 30th of July for our one-man show at the Hollywood Improv. What else, guys?
Oh, yeah, and I guess we'll be back next week. Now, you're going to be going on vacation. You ought to tell people that.
Well, we won't get into that until we're all done with the business of the one-man show and all the other biz that we have to do. All right, guys, we'll see you for the Saturday show, you BSPs, tomorrow. And the rest of you guys will see you on Monday. Again, Inquesta 3133. Congratulations from the Phil Henry Show.
Did you call me the names that you called me? You call me those names.
We hung up on you, Dean.
So I hung up on you.
Oh, that's right.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. On the Sideshow Network, this is General Galen Shaw. That's right. What are you looking at?